In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Happy Friday to you. And as you wake up this morning, we turn the calendar to the month of September, which means that this is Labor Day weekend. And hopefully you have a special time with family and friends. And don't forget to be faithful to the Lord's house this weekend. Thank you for joining us this morning on Word for Life. Pastor Ken Keltner is taking us through the book of Judges. We're in chapter 13, where we're beginning to look at the life of Samson, a man who had physical strength and great advantages, but yet also lived a very disastrous life as well. We are looking forward to this month, 15th and 16th, 2 weeks away. Men, if you have an inkling to join us, we'd love to have you come to our men's retreat in 2 weeks, the 15th and 16th. Mac Lynch is going to be our guest speaker for Friday night and Saturday morning, and going to be a very special time for us here at the church. Pastor Ken, if you want to pick up with us, we look forward to learning more about Samson.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mark. We have this background of verse 1, which seems to be a recurring theme taking place. And remember, in the cycle of the judges, there's seven different times that they sin, then they cry out to God. They sin, God brings them under servitude of another country, then they bring supplication and cry out to God, and then God brings a Savior, He brings a judge. This one's going to be a little different, and we'll point out some differences with it, but let's again get this setting down, and I'll have you read verse 1 to get us started here.
And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years.
The last time we were introduced to the Philistines was back in Judges chapter 10, where the Philistines were, the wording there was they were harassing and oppressing the nation of Israel, we're told, for 18 years. That's in Judges chapter 10, verse 8. And the words there could mean that they were grinding the nation of Israel into powder. I mean, you talk about having their way with them. Mm-hmm. And that's just in the span of 18 years. And here in Judges 10, the people of Israel cry out to God for deliverance. And though at that time we read there that the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hands of the Philistines. As you read through chapter 10, it is very apparent that God was reluctant to deliver them initially. The people of Israel cried out to the Lord. Why don't you look at verse 10 of Judges chapter 10 and read that, their response to God and everything that was going on there, Pastor Mark.
And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you because we have forsaken our God and served the Baals."
And God basically answered them.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 14, listen to what God said.
"Go and cry out to the gods whom you have chosen. Let them save you in the time of your distress."
I mean, that is putting it right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've made your bed. Now go lie in it. Yeah. You want this? Then go do it. The people, though, they continue to cry out to God. And God, we're told all through Scripture, is merciful.
Mm-hmm.
And He is gracious. And so as they're crying out, God does raise up this man Jephthah to deliver His people. But here is the key, beginning with verse 1 that you just read earlier for us in chapter 13. More years have gone by, and here we have another generation.
Yeah.
Another generation comes on the scene. Just as we're told back in Exodus 1 there. There was another Pharaoh who didn't know anything about Joseph. Yeah. You know, how quickly we can forget history.
Yeah.
And what do they say? When you forget history, you're prone to...
prone to repeat it.
To repeat it.
Yeah.
And so here in chapter 10, this generation, they had the zeal of repentance, and over time that has now faded away. And the people had put away in chapter 10 the gods they had wanted. And they wanted nothing more to do with the Philistines. But here in chapter 13, the gods of the Philistines are looking pretty good to this new generation. And now, not for 18 years, but for 40 years, the nation of Israel lived under the domination of another nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so in conjunction with the Philistine domination, we also see Israel's apathy and rebellion. I mean, that is so dangerous to get complacent in our spiritual life, friends. And what's interesting here, this is what's different from the cycles we have seen in the book of Judges. The people here in chapter 13 are not crying out to God for deliverance as they had in previous times. As one commentator aptly wrote, and I quote, "The people of Israel had settled down into a peaceful coexistence with the Philistines. There's no repentance. There's no cry for help from Israel during this time." And don't forget who the high priest was at this time. It was Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And we're reminded that the priesthood then itself was very immoral at this time. So spiritual apostasy and idolatry picture the people of Israel. And the people had even begun to intermarry with the Philistine women. And so this was a very, very difficult time, really, to identify with the Lord God. Those days, and our days, are not much different in terms of spiritual darkness and idolatry and immorality and distress. You know, friends, our country has been truly blessed by God. I mean, we want to sing at the ball games, "God Bless America."
Mm-hmm.
I think people can easily see, if you've ever been to, you know, other countries, how blessed America is. But it has turned far from Him. We've taken God really out of the schools. We've taken God out of really our secular life. I mean, TV basically is, this is normal. This is life without God.
Yeah.
But you look at TV and it's a mess.
Yeah.
You know, you would think, man, if any place was going to just have the utopia of wonder, wonderment, it would be Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they got all kinds of problems.
Right.
And thus it's portrayed on our television. So our music has moved away from God. It's moved more to what satisfies our flesh.
Yeah.
And so here is Israel. 40 years they've been terrorized. God's people are apathetic and content with their lives. They're not crying out to God for help. And it's in this, and it's with this backdrop that we're introduced to the revelation of the Lord Himself to deliver His people. Isn't that wonderful that they don't cry out to God, but God sees what's happening and what's going to take place in their life, where they could just almost, you know, just almost become extinct as a distinguished people of His, and He's not going to let that happen. And so He's going to bring the deliverer, even though they're not crying out for God.
Yep.
And then we're going to see Mr. and Mrs. Manoah, their response. So let's look here at this revelation of the Lord Himself. Lord, and now if you're driving along, obviously you can't be looking at your Bible, but or if you're just waking up, you might not have your Bible out. But Lord, let me tell you, is all capitalized here.
Mm-hmm.
And any time in the Old Testament you see Lord capitalized, this is the personal name. This is Jehovah God. This is Yahweh. And it is the personal, proper name and holy name of God. And so the revelation of the Lord, all caps, Himself, 8 times in this chapter, we're introduced to the angel of the Lord. Again, the Lord is all capitalized. He appears both to Manoah and his wife in this narrative. And the many times this phrase appears in the Old Testament about the angel of the Lord, it is singular. It's not angels of the Lord. It's angel of the Lord. Way back in chapter 6, when we were studying about Gideon, we saw the angel of the Lord came to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord is most often a designation that refers not to one of the created angels, but rather to a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ himself. We would refer to that as a Christophany, or at least a theophany. Commentator and writer Andrew Fawcett wrote, "The angel of the Lord identifies himself with Jehovah in his words and deeds as no prophet does." Arthur Kendall wrote, and I quote, "The angel of the Lord is regularly used in the Old Testament to denote the manifestation of the Lord himself in a theophany." This was the same angel of the Lord that spoke to Abraham, appeared to Moses in the burning bush, I like this one, stood in Balaam's donkey's way, and commissioned Gideon. I mean, the uniqueness of this heavenly visitor will be seen in Manoah's response in Judges 13, when Manoah will say to his wife, "We will surely die because we have seen God." I mean, Manoah will get into it. It didn't really occur to him who they were speaking to at first, but when he got that message, it was a message that, hey, this is God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the background. And so we've seen the Lord appear. We've seen, we're going to see the Lord's announcement here and the response of Mr. and Mrs. Manoah. So why don't you look and read for us about this special birth there in verses 2 and 3, if you would, Pastor Mark.
There was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son."
You know, I wonder what this unnamed woman thought about it all. Here she is, you know, possibly maybe she was washing clothes or preparing supper or just sitting by herself when suddenly the angel of the Lord shows up with this miraculous announcement. You're about ready to have a baby, even though you've never had a child at this point. Now, what we're going to learn about Mr. and Mrs. Manoah is it really sets them apart from the whole prevailing spiritual condition of the land in that day. It's obvious they've been withstanding the ungodly influence all around them. Almost like hearing the echo of the words from Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And their world just all of a sudden was interrupted. And the angel of the Lord gives this announcement, and we'll pick it up in our next broadcast, of the very specific instructions he's going to give because God's hand is going to be on this baby child. So I hope you'll be able to join us as we continue our study in Judges 13. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.